Okay, guys, welcome to Dever Gets Red Pilled, episode 115. Today we have a special episode that we've been excited for a long time. But first, let's get the business out of the way. So I'm here with my co-host, Chud X. How's it going, man?
Pretty good.
It's a rare morning recording session for us. I don't know if we've done one of these yet.
But, I think we've done a couple.
Yeah. But
this is the earliest for sure.
Yeah, midweek, early morning, kind of cool. Something I normally wouldn't have been able to do before. So
definitely and I, weekday yeah, morning.
Yeah, Deborah and I used to record on Friday mornings a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But guys, we are a value for value show. And any donations will be much appreciated. Time, talent, and treasure. And recently, since I've been adding some music to the podcast, people have been sending me art and their own music that they've prepared and given me permission to use it in the podcast. So we really are into that, guys. So keep that coming.
Wow, that's really awesome. Like,
yeah,
that, I love that. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, who was it? Somebody from Minnesota sent me a bunch of pictures that he said we could use. That was, let's see here. Let me change podcast. But yeah, this week, Scott from Rebunked and formerly of Truthzilla sent us a donation. I was just going to turn around and send it right back to him, but he didn't have any payment info on his show notes, so I didn't send it to him. So maybe it's ours now.
That's really nice of Scott.
Yeah, I just...
I'm loving his new podcast.
Yeah. I haven't listened to when he got Richard Gage on. I want to listen to that.
I haven't heard that one.
Richard Gage is from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And recently, I think he was forced to step down and leave that organization because of his vaccination status.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's for not being vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously.
And that's pretty wild. But
and I noticed just a side note that Dr. Richard Allen Miller, I haven't listened to it yet, but he's on the newest THC.
Yeah, I listened to it, man. I don't believe a word that guy says.
What anymore. Is he? What kind of subjects do they get into?
I mean, it's cool. He talks about all this like crazy mathematical quantum stuff that he's into and talks about going to Antarctica and seeing the Viking ship and then I talked to my good friend Buzz Aldrin and I'm just like there goes that. You know, so
That's a bummer.
Yeah,
I'll still check it out.
But yeah, check it out. I mean, he says some good stuff, but I don't know if I believe the guy.
Yeah,
he lives in a trailer park somewhere in Southern Oregon.
Oh no shit.
Yeah, so let's see. So this guy from Minnesota, greetings from Minnesota, he sent us he gave us a bunch of he made let's see, his name is Mutt from Minnesota, sent us a bunch of pictures. He has a Make Amoebics Great Again hat.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I still one of my long sleeve shirts that I wear for when I'm weed eating and stuff is an Amoebic shirt. I still wear it, but I'm like, there's no way these guys are cool.
Yeah. And he did a bunch of other stuff. So thank you. And then one of our listeners reached out and we're going to do a cryptid show about cryptids down under.
Oh yeah, that'll be
Aussie
cool.
Aussie cryptids.
Do they got some some different ones over there that we've never heard of, maybe.
Yeah, a whole bunch of them. Yeah. Like a bunch of Aboriginal stuff.
Killer.
Where's Deborah? This is making me very angry that she's not here. I'm going to send her an angry text.
Deborah.
Did you see the video of Joe Biden getting his second booster?
No.
Oh, man. Charlie.
Was that fourth shot?
I think so. Yeah. Charlie Robinson had it on his Twitter. Oh, and shit. It was insane. It is so insane. He's like, he can barely walk. He's like waddling. He like sits down. He's got this big giant fake grin on his face. And like, there's the press corps there and they're like flashing all these photos and they're like yelling questions at him about like Ukraine and all this other stuff, like serious questions. And he's just like smiling. And he's like, just says, "All, we'll have answers on that question then a little bit later." It is fucking nuts. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, right, it's on this. It's on Charlie Robinson's Twitter.
Yeah, I'll go find it.
It's disturbing how crazy it is.
Yeah. Good morning. He's had a lot of disturbing, crazy videos too, but I don't know, man. I'm trying not to manifest it, but I'm afraid they're gonna pull this COVID stuff right back in and hammer us down. The more high level politicians, such as the president, are doing things like that. And you know, it was what, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago that Obama had tested positive, and I don't know.
Jen Psaki's got it, is going through her second run of it. Mm-hmm. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Hi, Deborah.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
To Deborah.
Birthday.
Thank you kindly.
Happy birthday.
It is your birthday. How old are you?
69.
Ooh, great. That's number.
That's a cool
69,
number.
69, dude. There's a
question. I get it for a full year.
I want to ask you, but I will not. So,
good choice.
Yeah. We, your two daughters and I got you a present.
Yes, you
did. It was my idea to get you some concert tickets. They couldn't just figure out what to get you. They're looking at like socks, neckties, just crappy parent presents, you know. And I'm going, well, Deborah likes to go to live music. Why don't we get her something? So they found at the Great American Music Hall, it's like a performance where they like kind of like a cover band covers like Eric Clapton and Cream.
Uh-huh. Disraeli Gears.
And then they do, is that one of his other bands?
No, that's the name of an album. And that's
okay. So it's like a whole, they dissect the whole album.
Uh-huh.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So they're not gonna cover any of his more recent anti-vax music that he's been doing.
No, I don't think so. That's Eric Clapton. This is Cream.
Well, Eric Clapton's in Cream, right?
Right. Yeah. But you know, I think they're focusing on Cream.
Yeah. Do you think the cover band's doing it instead of Eric Clapton because he's vaccine injured and can't play guitar anymore?
I'm sure that Eric Clapton will not be there. I think Ginger Baker died, if I'm not mistaken. He was the drummer.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like that big famous drummer, right? The crazy guy who like
red hair,
lived in Africa. And like, I watched a documentary about that guy.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, he was quite the animal.
Yeah, he told his wife, he like really embraced Africa. It was a big deal over there. He told his wife that he hated his children because they weren't black, stuff like that. It was crazy. It was a good documentary.
I'll have to look for that one.
Yeah. So guys, as you know, we are the number one Ukraine invasion ignoring podcast in the Pacific Northwest. But that may all change because this Hunter Biden laptop stuff is getting crazier and crazier.
So Trump asked Putin to look into it for him?
No.
Or am I off track here? Again,
when are you saying this happened?
A couple days ago.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's like it came up during the election.
Yeah.
New York Post released it. Everybody says it's like QAnon, right wing, Russian disinformation, right? And then most recently, the New York Times confirms that it's all true. I mean, I don't understand why we needed this laptop to say it was true when we have Joe Biden on record at the CFR talking about firing, threatening to fire a prosecutor, threatening to withhold money from Ukraine if they don't fire a prosecutor who's looking into their connections with Burisma in Ukraine. And we know this. We've talked about this tens of times, Deborah. But I think this laptop gets into all their shady business dealings in Ukraine. And then it, if you want to get even more conspiratorial into it, like what I am going to, there's all the pedo stuff on it. And it's just a matter of time, maybe. They're biding time, Biden time to see if all this stuff's going to come out, you know? We got Zelensky, we got Nazis, we got all this crazy stuff. I guess the one thing I wanted to ask you, Deborah, is at what point do you put aside your hatred for Donald Trump? You can hold on to it, but just put it aside and admit that the Bidens are just as seriously compromised, corrupt crime family with interests in Ukraine and all over the third world and stuff like that, enriching themselves in really nefarious ways.
At this point, it's almost like a Pavlov dog response. If you're in politics, if you're up there in politics, you're dirty.
Yeah. But like really dirty, like we're about to go into World War III because they're so dirty. Like we got promised racial harmony, erasing student loan debts, and all we got was war. Pending World War III, no fly zones. Is that what you voted for?
Hell no, of course not. Of course not.
It's just kind of weird, though, that a bunch of people probably could have told you that's what was coming.
Well, a bunch of people did tell me that was coming.
Yeah.
And
it's wild. That means you kind of got your fingers into World War III, maybe.
If you put that much weight on voting.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because I think you know, it doesn't matter what everyone votes for. It's those things are determined not by the number of marbles put into a jar. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Another crazy thing that we heard this week was Joe Biden in a press conference saying that sanctions are painful for everyone and there will be food shortages in Europe and the US.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. This is a good question that Dave Smith put forward recently. He said, so how responsible do you think the most vulnerable people in a society are for the evils of the government? Like let's put it this way. If us going in and bombing Iraq made some like really poor elderly black woman who's living on $300 a month social security, how much of the brunt of that should she have to take? Because that's what's happening in not only Russia, but that's what's going to happen to everybody because of these sanctions. These sanctions are, they're saying, what's going to cause food shortages because of what the wheat production in Ukraine and Russia and fertilizer production.
Fertilizer is a big one.
And so they're saying like, oh, these sanctions are to hurt Putin and these Russian oligarchs. when in reality, you know, maybe that Russian oligarch might lose one of his five yachts, but
he's not going hungry.
Putin's not going to be hungry. So what do you think? Like, that's like, and then
I don't,
the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are cheerleading for it. People that don't even know what no-fly zones are asking for them. And that's guaranteed World War III. It's wild, huh?
It is wild. It is wild. It's terrifying. And
yeah, it just goes to show you, you know, like, but it is like Chudik said, if you think voting does anything, I mean, maybe it's all rigged. And I mean, I don't know how long they can keep this guy in office. I don't know if they planned that out. Did you see the video of him eating? He said he wanted to go eat pizza with the Polish troops.
No.
And there's like a video of him like eating in a cafeteria in Poland with these young kids. And they're just looking at him with fucking hatred in their eyes. And then he's like sitting there like trying to eat pizza and he can't really do it. And he like puts a napkin up to his mouth and like spits something into it and puts it down. And it's just like, it's sad. It looks,
oh God, I'm going to have to look for that.
It's like the nerd eating lunch by himself at a cafeteria. But yeah, we brought up,
be funny.
We showed, and that's the guy that's, It would be hilarious if World War III wasn't kind of resting somewhat in that guy's hands, which I don't think it is really, but he's just it's a weird face for the authorities to pick. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why he got picked, but maybe because they can just, he doesn't have any opinion. They can just tell him, but
it's all a puppet show.
Yeah. There's video, Deborah, that we're, Chud X and I were talking about before you came on, of him getting his second booster shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it did you, I sent it to you, but it was like a Twitter link. So I don't know if it can, if you could look at it. I sent it to you in a text form yesterday, I think.
I don't think I got anything from you yesterday. Okay. Oh yes, I did. I got the microaggressions.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
It's from Charlie Robinson's Twitter. I don't know if you can open it, but it is nuts. Just the show that's happening in front of our eyes. I can't believe it, but I'm really interested in what's going to happen with this laptop.
Yeah.
And in relation to if he stays in office, if he doesn't, they can't instate Kamala Harris. That can't happen. So something's gonna happen.
I mean, what's gonna prevent her from sliding in there?
I mean they'll pull something out of the hat. They'll say she's not fit for it, or she'll
but the people have spoken.
She'll defer to Nancy Pelosi or something like that, you know. And it's wild. It's going to get crazy. So
yeah, a lot of stuff all stacking up.
And just realize, Deborah, we're the Chudik and I are the conspiracy theorists, but this is the stuff I was bringing up months and months and months ago. There's pictures on there that are really, that you don't even want to look at, and possibly of Malia Obama in compromised positions, quite literally.
Wait a minute, on Biden's laptop?
Yeah. There's pictures of her like credit card with cocaine all over it. It's crazy. It goes very, very, very deep.
Now, where would Hunter Biden have gotten those photos? Just because they used to party together at the White House?
Yeah, not at the White House, but they were probably, I mean, if she was underage, he was probably interested, you know. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on, and they're not going to be able to call it QAnon bullshit forever. So
I think they're past that point now.
Yeah. New York Times is... yeah.
once New York Times has their fingers trying to take over the narrative, then, you know, it's outside of just being a QAnon conspiracy.
Yeah. If the New York Times has stopped carrying water for a Democratic president, that's when, you know, maybe it's the real deal. So more will be revealed. Happy birthday, Deborah.
Yes. Happy birthday.
And let's pause and let our guest in. All right, guys, we're back and we're here with our guest this week. You know him most famously for A Funny Thing Happened, On the Way to the Moon, Astronauts Gone Wild, where he took a pretty impressive punch from Buzz Aldrin, and most recently for his book, Moon Man. So, Bart Sabrell, welcome to Deborah Gets Red Pilled. We're really excited to talk to you today.
Glad to be here. So we're so high tech. It looks like we're in four different locations. It's remarkable.
Yeah, we've got Deborah's in the Bay Area. I'm in Northwest Oregon. Chud-X is in Northwest Washington.
I think the Bay Area is my favorite. That's San Francisco, right? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's like my favorite town in America.
Is that right?
Yeah.
When was the last time you were there?
Let's see. I was going to Japan, believe it or not, I think with Bill Casey when I went through.
Cool.
And I like it because it's like a miniature New York. They have all the ethnic restaurant groups. I'm a bit of a foodie, you know, like Chinatown, Japantown, Greek town, Russia town, Cuba town, but they're all really close together. So it's like a miniature New York. That's what I like about it. And then the trolleys in the hills. If you're in a car, it's like a free roller coaster. I mean, I'm going up a hill, I'm peeking over it, and I'm like, is this really a road? Is this road this steep? I guess so. There's the pavement, you know, like 2 miles, you know, so steep. It's unbelievable. So it's kind of fun. And then there's one road, Powell Avenue.
Powell Street.
Car. So you hit it at a certain speed if the light is green and you go airborne. Yeah.
Just like Clint Eastwood.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you go visit there today, it might not be your favorite anymore. It's rapidly downhill over the past few years.
A lot of crime, a lot of
it's dirt. Really sad. It was such a fantastic city. I loved it so much there. But we're not here to talk about San Francisco. We are here to talk about Moon Man and everything that's happened to you since you've undertaken this mission to expose NASA, the false moon missions, and we want to hear all about it, and we want to hear Deborah weigh in as much as possible. She's the oldest, I think, of the whole panel, and was the, you know, I know Bart, when it happened, it was 1969, correct?
Right.
And it is also Deborah's 69th birthday today. So there's a synchro.
There we go.
You were 4, Bart. How old were you, Deborah?
I was 16.
Was it a big deal for you?
No. I mean, you know, I remember I was at a friend's house. Her family had a house in Carmel, and I was down there staying with my friend and her family for a week. And we came in specifically to watch the news, but I think it wasn't, you know, it was like, oh, okay. Now tell me about your boyfriend. You know, that's the age I was.
Got it.
So it wasn't like life changing for me.
Yeah. Well, what was your experience with it, Bart?
Well, I'd like to ask Deborah a question.
Yeah.
I had, because I was 4 and asleep in bed, I'm kind of, you know, have to interview other people. I had heard that even at the time, there was a survey that said that in 1969, 10% of Americans already doubted the authenticity of it.
Wow.
That some churches even preached that it was fake. Do you remember hearing anything like that at the time?
I do not know. I was not tuned in at all. At all. Oh, there goes my dog. I did not. If I heard anything like that, it didn't enter my brain.
So you're the person who's red pilled, meaning you used to go from believing everything the media told you to now questioning it.
Questioning.
I forgot who read or listened to the book. You read and listened to Moon Man, right?
Yeah.
All so what did you, believe? Forgive me for asking the question, but having her on here makes me so curious. What was your impression before reading the book? Did you believe we went to the moon or not?
Why wouldn't I? My government wouldn't tell me something that wasn't true.
Well, before, I mean, you just listened to the book recently, though, Deborah. You had some opinions before that.
Yes, we
had,
I did.
We had Alex Stein on, who's gotten really famous recently.
He's blown up right now.
But he came on and did a little presentation on us, and I think that before that maybe that's how you felt,
I've definitely in the last 2 years or however, it's just a year and a half now that Adam has dragged me into this kicking and screaming, that my eyes have been opened, and but I took everything at face value, that if my, you know, they showed this on TV, it must be real. If my, you know, government is telling me this is what happened, then that must be what happened.
Yeah, that was like me. So back to your question, Adam, I was like that. I mean, I was asleep in bed. So when I woke up the next week or so, my dad being in the Air Force, he got a publicity package to like VIPs, officers, whatever in the Air Force, kind of like, I think maybe 20 9x12 color prints. He gave them to me as a gift, had them up on my bedroom wall for 10 years in a row. So I saw them 3,650 times in 10 years. Then I'm 14, about Deborah's age when the event allegedly happened. And I'm watching a TV program that's interviewing Bill Casey, who used to work for Rocketdyne during the Apollo program for 6 years. He had high security clearances because he would edit classified memos going from the Pentagon to Von Braun and NASA to correct their grammar, make them look a little bit more educated than they really were. And he saw Von Braun saying they basically could not go. And so that kind of planted the seed. I remember literally after I turned off that program, going to my bedroom wall and looking at the pictures again. I thought, okay, let me look at these as if they're in a TV studio. And it was like instantly I saw things I didn't see before, like eyes wide shut. And then I noticed, like, in the original pictures, they're different than the ones online and you get now. But if you can go to a library, I hate to say this, try to find an old book, borrow it, and then lose it, and then of course pay for it, you know, the reimbursement. So technically you're purchasing the book, or you could go to eBay and find books from, you know, 1969, 70. You'll see that the soil in the alleged moon surface is a very much caramel brown, and yet the backdrops, the landscape, are a gray blue. And so you can see a pretty clear straight line across. Now, they since corrected it. They put a blue filter on them, re-photographed them or something. So now the soil is blue, the background is blue. So when you see the Chinese rover that, for the following reason, I suspect is on the moon, you'll see the soil is caramel brown, like it was supposed to be, but for some reason, the projection, rear projection didn't match. So, and then I noticed like a wrinkle in his suit. There's that famous picture of Aldrin with his arm bent. There's wrinkles in the arm. You know, how many wrinkles are in a balloon? Because the thing's supposed to be inflated, you know, with air, which means the compressor would have to be in there. But if he's in earth gravity and not moon gravity, he would fall over backwards, which means they had to remove the compressor. And that's why there's wrinkles in it, because there's no air in it. So all sorts of things. And then I even saw secondary shadows of like the literal wall behind him casting a softer second shadow. And that kind of planted the seed in my mind. And then another 10 years go by, I'm 24, had become a filmmaker. And I'm actually editing a film one day for the guy who produced the program I saw when I was 14 with Bill Casey on it, saying we didn't go to the moon. And I'm like, do you remember that guy on your show who said we didn't go to the moon? That's been kind of bugging me. Maybe I could give him a call. So I got this office was actually in San Francisco, Deborah. And they said, had I called a day or two later, they would have never been able to tell me his name because they were deleting every 10 years archives to make room for, you know, videotapes take up quite a bit of room. So he first suggested, Bill Casey did, that I make a film about it.
Can I interrupt for a second, Bart?
Yeah, sure.
What was the show that you saw when you were 14?
I think it was called PM Magazine, which was a regional syndicated program that local stations could buy or not buy. So it was kind of national, but not mandatory national. It wasn't on every CBS channel at the same time. They could choose to purchase it and put it on at a specific any time that they wanted.
And it was just like a 43 minute with commercials, an hour long.
It was either 30 minutes. Yeah, it was either 30 or an hour. Probably an hour if they called it a magazine program.
Okay.
And so I called Bill up, and I think I do mention this in the book, just in case they fake the moon landing. I said to myself, you know, if he's the leading researcher at the time, maybe they killed him off and they put a proxy in his place so that people calling him with information, the CIA could keep up with it. I was even afraid to call the guy from my phone. I went across the street to a payphone to call him. And in about, you know, 10, 15 seconds, I could tell he was real, you know, very genuine. He suggested I do a film about it. And so I took off really about 6 months just doing research, you know, that the Soviets had five times the man hours in space. They were first at everything with the first satellite, animal, man, woman, spacewalk, crew of three, everything they did first. And the behavior of the astronauts seemed odd. Two of the three on the first mission rarely gave any interviews. The administrator of NASA resigned days before the first mission. You would think he would want to, you know, have that as part of his career. The shadows intersected at 90 degrees when they should be parallel in sunlight. And I'm like, you know, there's at least a 1 out of 4 chance they fake the thing. And if I start overturning these rocks, it might be a little dangerous. So I actually turned it down. I wanted to have a family someday and a wife. And I said, I'm not going to risk my life for what Nixon did. So another 5 years go by. Another client of mine was a Christian musician. And they said, hey, I'll get one of your screenplays to a famous Hollywood producer if you do a favor for me. I'm like, what? They said, read the Bible. I'm like, okay. So they suggested I get what's called a one-year Bible divided into 365 calendar days. And I remember I started reading June 3rd, 1989, the day the guy in China stood in front of the tanks. And so 5 years go by more. I had read the Bible five times from cover to cover. And I wasn't a Christian. However, it did solidify a belief in God, a belief in judgment for the way we live our life, and a belief in right versus wrong, evil versus good, truth versus lies. And I said, if they faked the moon landing, that is more profound than if they'd actually gone. So imagine if you could go to the moon, that would have a certain level of significance historically. But if you couldn't go, you lied about it, you murdered people to keep it a secret, that's more profound actually than if he had actually gone. So I realized, if this is correct, that they really did fake it, this is an important truth worth dying for. I said, I'm going to die anyway, so I might as well go out in a blaze of glory and risk my life for something worthwhile. Shortly after that, I started producing A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, which was financed largely by a board member of an aerospace company that builds rockets for NASA, who knows that it's fake. And I still gave him the benefit of the doubt until about 3.5 years into the 5-year project. I pop in a tape looking for, you know, footage, and it says, do not show to the public. It's one shot for like an hour of the mission, the little Earth allegedly floating in space. And they're like trying to perfect a special effect shot. And then the lights come up and you see it's a 1-foot model of the Earth, and the CIA is telling them how to do it on a third track of audio. And I'm like, wait a minute, let me understand this correctly. They're faking being halfway to the moon. That's clear. So if they're faking being halfway, it means they can't go halfway, which means they didn't go. And if their equipment can't go and all the rockets were the same, it means they never went. So I'm like, you know, really, you know, shocked. And I literally just start crying. Is the world this deplorable? Is the world this lost? And it is. And so I called up Bill and I'm like, they really didn't go. It's unbelievable. They really didn't go. And he's like, well, Bart, I told you. And I'm like, no, they really didn't go. And he's like, well, Bart, I told you. So that was kind of my awakening, you know, to all of this.
Was that video the one where they are faking the time delay?
Well, yeah, they're faking a time delay. You hear at the beginning, NASA says, hey, you know, Goldstone, another place, tells us that the picture looks good. They couldn't even see the picture first because it was being pre-recorded and edited, which is suspicious, you know, they called it live. And then there's exactly a 4-second delay. And then you hear a third party crystal clear, not like a radio EQ, saying talk. And then Neil Armstrong starts speaking. So what they were doing, because they were in Earth orbit the entire time, that way they could go up in front of witnesses, splash down in front of witnesses, and get real zero gravity of the tuna fish sandwich floating by or whatever. They never left Earth orbit, so they're really close to the Earth. So if they had answered, you know, the TV picture looks great to NASA immediately, it would give away the fact that they're close to the Earth because of the radio delay they should have. So the CIA, you know, talked to them in a private earpiece. They heard NASA. They counted off 1, 2, 3, 4, talk to create this fake radio delay. And then, you know, this, you know, production company that is affiliated with NASA to debunk my finding released the footage, which they claim was pre-existing anyway, which is not true because no one ever saw it until my film came out. And then they deleted talk. I mean, they have the exact same segment and they deleted talk, you see. So that's suspicious as well.
Yeah.
It's like they just removed that audio track, that one.
Yeah, because it gave away that I was right.
It's crystal clear. It's like a director being right there and saying action.
Yeah.
So prior to this, when you were first, when it was first suggested that you make the movie and you declined, at that time, you had concerns for your life even before you kind of dug into all of this?
Well, yeah, because, you know, it's like I live in an apartment building and let's say a new neighbor moves in. And the cops tell me there's a 1 out of 4 chance that he's a homicidal maniac and you're in danger. Well, 1 out of 4 isn't a majority, you know. I should be perfectly fine and sleep over at the guy's house and give him keys, right? I mean, it's only there's a 75% chance he's okay. No, 1 out of 4 chance that there's a homicidal maniac living next door is large in my mind. And I realized I have kind of a relentless personality. You know, once in prayer, I think God spoke to me and I asked him, why do you put up with me? I mean, I repent over and over again of the same sin. I just can't seem to get it right. And he said back, it's because you keep trying. And so I know I'm very persistent when I have a cause and I like puzzles. And this is just kind of a puzzle. So I figured, you know, if anyone could discover the truth, it would be me. And there's a 1 out of 4 chance it could be deadly. So maybe better pass on this one. So that's kind of why I turned it down, because I knew if it were true, it's got to be the most embarrassing secret. I mean, it probably killed fewer people. I mean, there's something like 200 witnesses of the JFK assassination that were knocked off, apparently. And maybe the moon landing fraud killed 15, 20 people. However, it's the most embarrassing one to the deep state if the truth comes out, because people waved their flags, they prayed for them, they cried, and they held ticker tape parades for them. And it's in the encyclopedia and it's on coins. And if they find out all that was completely made up and they were billed $200 billion, I think they might be upset about that. So that's why we keep seeing all these commemorative, we really went to the moon. I mean, if they really went to the moon, then anybody who says otherwise is an idiot. So why are there hundreds of films on the internet taking tens of thousands of hours to produce to convince idiots of a false belief that's so obvious? Right? That's a little strange, you know? And so this is just the world that we live in. And I guess you could call it my awakening. That awakening, you know, led into me at least being open-minded about other things, the JFK assassination, 9/11, chemtrails and the like. And I get emails saying kind of the same thing in reverse. They first discovered, you know, chemtrails and then 9/11, then JFK, then they now are open-minded to the fraud about the moon landing. But those same people, you know, or their apprentices are in power. Somebody was in existence during Eisenhower's administration that he was so afraid of them that he only rebuked them his last day in office of 8 years. And then Kennedy rebuked them while he was in office, and we know what happened to him. And then they faked the beginning of the Vietnam War, the Gulf of Tonkin incident. John McNamara, defense secretary, said they just made that up, you know, which led to a million people dying. Then you have 3,000 architects and engineers who risked their reputation by saying the crazy thing that airplanes, it's physically, structurally impossible for a pinhole airplane to bring it down. Not to mention Building 7, which for some reason half the world doesn't even know about. And so,
there was a lot of furniture burning in that building part that must have caused it to come down.
Yeah, I think that, and I think there was a stack of Xerox papers, contributed to that. But the point is that these people are at large. And so the book Moon Man, which your listeners can get at Sibrel, S as in Sam, I, B as in boy, R-E-L, Sibrel.com, you could say is divided into three parts. First is the how and why, you know, we didn't go to the moon. The second is my never before shared espionage adventures uncovering this, which led to my being drugged and kidnapped by the CIA and escaping from them, taking my urine to a lab to prove I'd been drugged with truth serum, the lab being broken in over the weekend overnight, and the only thing stolen was my urine sample, you know, and all sorts of crazy things. And a third of it is about, look, these people are running our government and the world, and they're getting better every time. I mean, they did a great job with Kennedy. I mean, that windshield was popped out and thrown into the furnace with the bullet hole in the front, like, you know, an hour later. And they took care of everything. They did 9/11. They're doing the current event. I think we're on YouTube, so I'll just call it that. The current event, you know, really well. So the third of the book is, look, the moon landings were falsified. What does that mean? It means these people are at large. They're in charge of our country and the world. This is a dangerous thing to be. And then the icing on the cake is we have a deathbed confession of the chief of security of military police who was there at the time when Apollo 11 was filmed, June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of 1968, which you'll have to read the book to find out about. But basically, we have his deathbed confession saying, I stood beside President Johnson while they filmed the thing. And on his deathbed, he regretted it. He even confessed, and it's really not, I don't think, in the book, but he confessed a homicide that happened on his base because the person was going to go to the press and tell them what he had witnessed there of the fake moon landing. So this is the way that it is. You know, all you have to do is have an open mind. And that's the strange thing. I don't know. I should have asked privately if you're all believers or not, but there's a quote in the Bible, I think it's in Obadiah, I'm paraphrasing, but basically pride blinds you from seeing the truth. And I talked to a professor of an aerospace department at a major university who just wouldn't accept, refused to even consider it by 1% that they faked the moon landing. I said, okay, what about this one? What if you saw Neil Armstrong on national TV crying and saying, I'm so sorry, the moon landings are fake. He said, I still think we win. I mean, wow. And I'm a truth seeker. Believe it or not, everyone thinks I'm a conspiracy theorist. Actually, I mean, truthfully, I'm not. Someone told me about chemtrails just like 3 years ago. And I'm like, come on, give me a break. Everyone would notice that. And then I realized, you know, I never actually look up at the sky. I started getting up at like 5:30 in the morning for several months, which is before sunrise. And just at sunrise, so that they can do it under cloak of darkness, and they're slightly behind schedule. I live nowhere near the airport, and there's like a grid pattern, just like mowing a lawn. You know what I mean? They're trying to mathematically cover the sky. These things don't disappear. They get widened and wider and wider, and they form a blanket cloud. And then I was driving down the road a year or so ago, coming over a hill, and I see big puffy cloud, just like childhood, just like in pictures. And I realized, I haven't seen those in a long time. What is that about? You know what I mean? And the whole idea that we have media, that you could even call it media, is so preposterous. It's total propaganda. And I don't know. My guess is, and I hope I'm wrong, that, you know, at some level, Biden and Putin are equal Illuminati members, just like Trudeau and him are Economic Forum students. And it's not that the war isn't happening, but it's contrived to like have food shortages and all that stuff. That's probably what's going on. But if it's not, That means right now, Russia, our enemy, has more integrity than the United States of America. So that what is happening there? You know, what happens when San Francisco used to be my favorite city, and now it's like a third world country? What happened? What is going on? I live in Tennessee. I'm driving down the road and the roads are great. And I find out, you know, 10 years ago by truckers, they voted Tennessee to have the best roads in the country. And now I drive down the road and I blow out two brand new $300 tires because this pothole they just let go by a year and without fixing. And it's like, what's going on? No, they can't fix a pothole. They can't synchronize lights. I live in the capital city, Nashville. You go from, you know, uptown to downtown down the main street, you stop at a red light, it turns green, the next one turns red over and over and over again. Now, maybe that's a conspiracy to suck gas. They can't even do that. Now, if there's no integrity at the top by faking the moon landing, killing Kennedy and all that, then I'm afraid that trickles down, just like those pictures of prisoners in Iraq that were inappropriate. Why did they get away with that? Because their officers think it's perfectly fine. And the people above them think perfectly fine. So we have a corrupt government that behavior is subconsciously imitated to where everything eventually falls apart. The roads, the education system, the bridges and everything, the cities. And here we are. And why? Because our government at the top are a bunch of criminals. Mike Adams, who I write for in Natural News, said something very profound. He said, the people who run our country are gangsters. And that's exactly what they are. You look at John Brennan, he looks like a gangster, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll let you guys talk, but I mean, this is a sad state that we're in, is all I got to say.
Our friend, Howard Lichtman refers to it as intergenerational crime families. That's all the government consists of.
I mean you could call it the Clinton crime family, the Bush crime family, and that is, so if they're both crime families, then I guess this red and blue liberal Democrat, that's all a scam, which we know it is, because they squashed Bernie Sanders and the red party, and I mean the blue party, and they squashed Ron Paul. They won't let independent people get up there. It's impossible. And the idea that it's legal, get this is legal. Bernie Sanders over and over again won more votes, twice as many votes as Hillary Clinton, and yet she got more delegates anyway. They say we can do whatever we want. It's our private club, the Democratic Party. But that's
what you're describing
going to the Mark, presidency. So that should be illegal.
Yeah, what you just described with those super delegates, that's what woke me up in 2015 or something. I was a big Bernie guy. I was a union member, and I got tricked into thinking that all the BS that he was talking about was a good idea. But I mean, he's better than Hillary Clinton. And I just saw he's like winning in Iowa and all this stuff. And then somehow she'd walk away with more votes.
He was the leader when the whole thing got started. Ron Paul was on the other side, and he got 1% of the news coverage being the leader of getting more votes than anybody else. Then you have Tulsi Gabbard, right? Yeah. In order to be in the debate, she had to get poll 5%. She polled 5%. So they changed the rules to 6%. She wouldn't get on there.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable how corrupt it is.
Yeah. And she checked all the boxes too. She's a progressive woman of color and all that stuff. The only thing that they don't like about her, Deborah, what do you think that was?
I don't know, but I'm glad to know that peach is a color, so I qualify.
It's that she's anti-war.
Well, I mean,
and even then, she's not entirely.
War should be the last resort, you know, not always bad, but try to avoid it as much as possible. In the 246 years of America, I think the United States has been involved in a war something like 92% of the time.
Yeah.
What is that all about? I think that's what Eisenhower warned us about. Wars become an industry. Mm-hmm. In World War II, it was called the War Department. That was their version of the Pentagon. Then for some reason, they build the Pentagon. They start the CIA, and Eisenhower, you know, says they shouldn't be a Pentagon unless there's a war. And then Truman, who signed the order to start the CIA, said it was the biggest mistake of his life. They're their own entity. I mean, it's amazing. William Benny goes on national TV. He's been in upper management of the NSA for 30 years. And he says it even on mainstream media. By the way, I'm eyewitness to the fact that we spy on presidents' phone calls, senators' phone calls, and Supreme Court justices' phone calls to blackmail them with dirt in the closet to vote a particular way. No one contradicts them. No one says that's not true. No one says that it's true. No investigation. Now, how can that possibly be? How can it be that it's an established fact that Supreme Court justices' phone calls are being listened to blackmail them into voting a particular way, and it's an established fact that it's not an investigation like it never happened? Something is extremely wrong, not slightly wrong, extremely wrong with our country when that's going on. And it was those people who killed Kennedy, 9/11, faked the moon landing, Gulf of Tonkin, and who knows what else.
Yeah, it's amazing when you get to, when you come to understand that we didn't go to the moon, the Kennedy assassination, you know, all of these things together, you know, I get to a point where I start going, well, where is any truth? You know, where, what can we trust from our government, from our alphabet agencies, from any of these people? Because, I mean, it's all, it's like you're saying, it's all corrupt. It's all corrupt. Do you think there's any truth in it, in, you know, the entire establishment?
Well, there's the rank and file people who are probably, you know, honest majority. The problem is the system allows presidential appointments, which I talk about in the last chapter, which you can get at Sabrell.com. It's called What to Do About This Mess. Basically, there shouldn't be allowed presidential appointments of the FBI, Justice Department, EPA, CDC, FDA, because the corrupt president can then tell them what to do and what not to do. For example, the FBI could find a tremendous amount of crimes on Bush and Clinton, but the presidential appointee over them says, we're not going to investigate that. And if you do, you're fired. So, and the same thing at the FDA. I mean, it's a joke. People think when it says FDA approved on your meat that they went in there, you know, and inspected it. They didn't. They trusted the inspection report of the manufacturer. Same with pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals do their own tests. Now, there could be 99 people or 99% of people who drop dead from a medicine, but I'll study the 1% who didn't and make it look like 100%. That's what they're doing. The FDA just checks it off because they're a corrupt presidential appointee. I mean, what was it? The European leader, with the same things happening over there, is big hugging and kissing the VP of Pfizer. The Justice Department has so far fined Pfizer over $4 billion for making fraudulent claims about their product in the past. So, you know, there really isn't. I thought the FDA and the CDC inspected these drugs and did their, no, they just look at the manufacturer. You know, it's like the salesmanship. You basically have a used car salesman creating a report that it's a good car and the government going, well, if you say so,
you know. Well, I mean, I experienced that firsthand working in food production. We some friends and I had a sausage making operation. We got USDA approved. And there's a whole story behind it that I won't go into, but at the end of the day, we realized we're paying them off to say that we're making clean sausage when we could be doing anything we want and putting anything we want in there and nobody would know. It's because we fill out these reports meticulously and we were good people. We made decent food, but they did not know that. But then we would sell our packages in grocery stores, which would have that USDA approval stamp right there on it. And it would make everyone go, okay, I know this is good, clean sausage. But, and it was, but I don't know that about any other food that I didn't produce myself.
It's a shakedown. That's all
it
is.
It really is. I mean,
it's basically legalizing bribery. You pay a bribe and you get permission, you know, to do this or that. That's actually what carbon credits are. I mean, like, I finally understood carbon credits. Carbon credits mean that if you're a company that is at their limit, the EPA says you can't pollute anymore and you got to produce things that will pollute more. There's a company over here that hardly pollutes any. You can buy their pollution from them and basically you're paying a bribe in order to be able to pollute more. That's carbon credits. And the former VP's getting 10% commission, you know, off his company that, you know, exchanges them between people, you know. There's, well, a bribe on the bribe.
Bart, yeah. Let's get back to the book. I want to hear the one chapter that really, really struck me and scared. I found it scary. You approached it in the book as a in a somewhat humorous manner, which I appreciated, but I know it probably was a lot scarier than you made it sound. But the chapter on the way to CNN.
Yeah, there's a chapter in it. And again, your listeners can get it at Sabrell.com. It's called "The Funny Thing Happened on the Way to CNN." And basically, I this happened and I never told anybody about it because I never talked about it on a talk show because I figure I'm already trying to convince people of something pretty unusual, which is that the government faked the moon landings. Better not make it sound any more crazy. But seeing how this is kind of like my final statement on the matter, I figure what the heck, I'll just throw it in there. And yeah, basically, after I found, you know, the proof, the window shot, the unedited footage of fake photography with a track of audio from the CIA, it freaked me out. I'm like, oh my God, I have proof of the moon landing in my house. What have I done? I have a blind roommate. I have a toddler son. I took no security precautions whatsoever. And I'm panicked. And around that time of me calling up Bill Kasing, the phone call's interrupted with like this screech. And I could just like barely hear him, like something like that. And it's like they're trying to interrupt our phone call. And I'm telling them, don't sleep where you slept last night. I'm panicking. And so I go to my elders at church. We met. It was a Wednesday night. I think the fourth was on a Sunday, third, second. What is that? It's around like the 1st of July. And 1999. And they're like, Bart, you bit off more than you could chew. You need to, you know, take this to CNN as quickly as possible. I had immediately made copies, put them in safe houses, and I took a copy of it. I basically, you know, planned to go home, get the copy, and then drive to CNN. So because of this, you know, quandrum that I'm in, I was one of the last of hundreds of people leaving church that night. And when I pulled out of the parking lot, it's, you know, nighttime, 9 or 10 o'clock at night, there was a wave pool business nearby, which had closed at sundown. And there was a car backed into the closed business, just like waiting for me. As soon as I drove past them, they pull out. And I'm like, oh, they're waiting for me. They're backed into a business that's closed at night. And they didn't pull out when any other cars went by, only me. So I'm like, ah. They're following me. So, you know, I immediately pulled over to the shoulder road, screeched on my brake, and the guy stops in the middle of the road like, oops, I gave myself away. And I'm like, I'm not going anywhere until this guy is in front of me. And I got all night. So finally, after a couple of minutes, the guy figures, you know, we better try again another time. He passes me. So I decide to follow him. You know your enemy. He gets on the loop on the parkway. I get on the loop on the parkway behind him. And I'm curious. I want to look at this guy. So I literally pull the two lane, one way highway, two lanes the other way in a medium. I want to look at this guy. So I pull up alongside of him and give him a look. Now he looked like nobody. I mean, a van with fuzzy dice and a tank top. Just looked like the average American, you know, but he had a look that was a little bit unnerving. I don't know if you've ever seen a documentary about a great white shark, you know, coming up out of the, you know, near the boat and grabbing the meat. And you look at that eye, it's like nobody's at home. There's no soul. That's the look that he had. He looked like he would kill me, go home and have a nice dinner and not even think about it the next day. I've never seen that in my entire life. And as soon as I pull up alongside of him and give him a look, everything on my car shuts off. Like the engine, boom, like a kill switch. A military friend told me later they sent an EMP from a satellite or something and just fried the car, coasted to the road, wouldn't restart. Everything died, you know, electrically, engine, everything. And so I get out of the car. This guy goes down to the next exit, gets back on to come the other way. I first, you know, go to the other side. Then I go to the other side. When he goes, he loops around to do the thing again. I go back to the other side. And, you know, I'm on the phone trying to get the police. And finally, I stop somebody who's a cab. The cab takes me. I'm on the phone with the police, the downtown. I say, meet me at a certain place. I'll tell you when I'm 5 minutes away. I show them my media credentials. I say, look, I'm being followed because of this, you know, story I'm working on. They say, well, you need private security. Yeah, no kidding. And so I guess around 11 midnight, I go to one of the safe houses. I'm afraid to go home to get the other copy of the tape, and I hire a different cab to drive me from Nashville to Atlanta. It's like $400 at the time. And I tell the guy first, you know, I don't want to put him in harm's way. I say, just to let you know, here's my media credentials. Here's this, you know, large broadcast quality size videotape. And what's on it is the crew of Apollo 11 faking part of the moon mission. Strange things are happening. I need to get this to CNN. Are you still interested? And he says, sure. The guy already believed, oddly enough, that the moon landings were fake. And so on the way there, we're even making jokes, you know, at sunrise, there's like a senior citizens bus going by. And he says, you know, that lady, she's wearing a mask. She's not really an old lady. Anyway, little jokes like that. And then my contact at CNN isn't going to be there until like 10 a.m. We get there around 6 or 7. So I say, let's just get a hotel. We get a hotel room, sleep for a couple hours, wake up. It's about time to go. And I'm using a payphone with some memorized AT&T numbers for such an emergency, calling the executive producer and the news director at my NBC affiliate to let them know what's going on. And the cab driver, my little angel, he's like, there's a guy over here kind of poking his head repeatedly behind the corner, looking at you and then hiding. And I said, well, he's just probably, you know, waiting for the phone. And he says, there's an empty one right here next to you. Like, oh, yeah, how about that? So we get in the cab and rush to CNN, right? And as soon as we hit the street, two cop cars with their lights on but siren off pull into the lobby of the hotel in front of the building and stop another taxi in front of the hotel. They were after me in a different taxi. They stopped the wrong cab. I'm like, go, go, go. And we're literally racing. We don't even know where CNN is. And we're like trying to figure it out while people are chasing us. We get to CNN. I'm surrounded by three police officers, one of which is a captain, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay. And it's about noon or 11, I think, about that time. People from CNN are sitting out eating their lunch. And so there's a lot of witnesses there. And they're looking around, checking out the witnesses. And they're like, what are you doing here? And I said, well, here's my journalist media ID. Here's this extremely large Betacam videotape. You know, I'm a professional journalist. And I tell them, because if I were the CIA, what I would do is I would have operatives in pretty much every city of 100,000 or more. And generally, they would probably be police officers because they can access everything. And they're, you can call them Illuminati or Masons or whatever, and they're in that club. They're on call to do a favor. Now, I'm sure they didn't tell them, we need to help you stopped the moon landing fraud from being exposed. They either told them nothing or said something like, I had a videotape of the president with a prostitute. We don't want that to be embarrassed or whatever. So I tell them.
Maybe they just told them that they give them some money and they're the kind of people that don't care about what's on those tapes.
Yeah. So I told them, I told the three officers, I said, let me tell you why you were sent here, you know, because this tape contains unedited footage of fake photography from the first moon mission. One of the three guys, the youngest, you could see him, you know, this look of horror coming over him. And they kept blocking me from going in. The cab driver's like, you know, maybe we should go. And I said, am I free to go? Now, they wouldn't answer me because, of course, I was. And I said, well, I'm assuming I'm free to go. If not, you're welcome to stop me. So we go. I follow the cab driver. As soon as we're around the corner, I take off running. And then I'm like trying to, you know, which way to go. I'm in the back alley behind CNN somewhere. And I'm like trying to figure where to go next. And just then, like two motorcycle cops and a white unmarked van show up. They immediately take the tape. They handcuff me. And then I hear them say behind me, where's the thing? Oh, I thought you had the thing. No, he has the thing. Oh, where's the thing? Oh, here's the thing. Now, they got rubber gloves on, too, which is kind of interesting. And they put, I'm already handcuffed. I'm looking back. They put what looks like kind of like a band like you get when you're in a hospital type of thing. They put that around me where my wrists are. And serendipity, a lawyer's back door is in the alley so that he can claim CNN Center, you know, get a cheap address. And I say, oh, more serendipity. Let me tell you, I'm a journalist. I'm being illegally arrested. The guy gets out his notepad and starts writing down. Had he not showed up, maybe I would have been found, you know, on a railroad track or somewhere. So now they kind of have to change their plans where they're going to take me. And I start throwing up because they gave me some sort of LSD type of drug through the, you know, the contact of my wrist. And I just start seeing spots before my eyes. They put me in this van, and the van is like pitch black. It has to be deliberate. I mean, it's actually difficult to do pitch black in your house or somewhere. So it's, and then it's part of the psychological thing, I guess they're trying to do. And then there's a guy in there like babbling and, you know, gibberish or something like that. So I start talking to the guy. I said, oh, okay, it sounds like you're Muslim. You know, if you're going to, you know, speak in Arabic, why don't you say some prayers to Muhammad for me? And then he just shuts up like I really, you know, touched him. And then it just goes on from there. I ended up escaping from their custody, finding my way back to Nashville. And then I peed in a cup to prove that I'd been drugged. And I gave it to a friend. Not, I didn't take it to the lab myself. I gave it to a friend for him to take it to a lab to put it in his name to hopefully, you know, outwit the, these guys. And after a couple of days, my friend calls back and says, you know, would you like to know an update on the sample? And I'm like, yeah, dummy. He says, well, there was a problem. I'm like, yeah, what was that? He said, well, the lab was broken into over the weekend. And the only thing stolen was your urine sample. So I must have had really good evidence of some exotic truth serum or something. And so that's what the book goes into as well that I've never before shared.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Hey, if you don't mind, I got a question. I've worked on cars a lot and stuff, and you talk about the car that shut down on you. And that's really, really interesting to me. You just now briefly mentioned the idea of an EMP or something like that, which I'm pretty open to. But did you ever get that car back? Did you ever drive that? Did anybody ever take a, ever diagnose it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what he said, but I would, at that time I had a really good mechanic, kind of a friend, and I would regularly just like a physical on my car. I'd bring it to him about every probably 2 months for a while, making sure everything was okay. I actually borrowed a car from him while he fixed that one. And that car had the exact same EMP thing happen to it when people were following me. Completely different car. Zap, everything dies, electrical, engine, and everything. And then at another occasion, someone had drained my brake fluid and disconnected the low brake fluid light, so I wouldn't know. And they had also messed with the cruise control so that the accelerator would get... I mean, the accelerator got stuck in a city, in a neighborhood. You know, I'm like, putting on the brake, doing the emergency brake, and it just keeps going forward, you know, at 50 miles an hour inside of a neighborhood for some reason. Oddly enough, there's a film called Capricorn One, and they always say, you know, art imitates life. Well, in Capricorn One is about a reporter who worked for an NBC affiliate. I was a reporter who worked for an NBC affiliate, and he's trying to uncover NASA faking the Mars landing. I'm uncovering NASA faking the moon landing, and they messed with this car, making the accelerate to where they're trying to get him to cause a crash. Unbelievable. So what can you do? You know, a divine intervention and protection.
So yeah. When you went back, I mean, after your escape and all of that, in your car, I assume, was still on the side of the road?
Yeah, I mean, I think I had it towed to my mechanic and he fixed it while I borrowed the car that they also zapped the exact same way, you know, a few days later, so... Yeah, I would occasionally go there and he'd make sure no one had messed with it.
That that whole experience of the police being able to take people to a mental institute is the most terrifying thing that I can imagine. And I know I watch a lot of like people that do what's called auditing police. You know, they just like go and like take a drone to like a police parking lot or take pictures at a police parking lot and act like total dicks, even though they're doing something illegal or something legal to get the cops to mess with them so they can like exercise their rights. And the cops always like end up, you know, threatening to arrest them with no recourse to do so. But it's scary because you see the police are trained now to always ask, are you feeling okay? Do you have a history of mental illness? Are you on any medication? And it's like, we're at this bypass now where this mental health narrative has come so much into play that they are supposedly being trained to deal with mental health problems instead of just shooting people, but they can detain you and take you and put you in a medical hold for something like 3 days or something without being charged with anything. And that's That's really, really scary to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's loopholes all in the law that they can use against dissenters. I did the math. If the United States had a federal sales tax of 9%, it would bring in about 25% more than the annual income tax. Plus, you would save $50 billion a year on the IRS because you wouldn't need them anymore. You could just collect electronically at the point of sale. Plus, you would collect all this undeclared income. I mean, if a drug dealer got all this money and wants to buy a house, he paid tax on it, pays tax on the car. So you end up getting the tax off undeclared cash income, but they don't want to do that. That's their Nazi attack dog. So when a person is arrested, they have the right to a phone call, the right to an attorney immediately, and they have to be charged within 48 hours of whatever the arrest was for, or they can never be charged for that again. If they accuse you of being mentally ill, they can lock you up for 10 days, 500% longer. You have no rights to attorney, no rights to a phone call because you're not under arrest. Technically, you're under observation. I mean, it's a pretty amazing little loophole there. And you find out Russia did the same thing, and they've done it to people talking about the current situation that's been going on for 2 years. A couple of those leading investigators, doctors, I think, were thrown into institutions claiming because they see the truth they're crazy. And some people even believe you're crazy if you see the truth. I mean, if I say, you know, the government's corrupt, they faked the moon landing, they say you're crazy, which is really interesting because now you're crazy if you see the truth, and you're not crazy if you buy into lies. That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like all these people that are, I'm not a fan of the police at all, Bart. I don't know your feelings since dealing with them in this capacity, but all these people that want to defund the police and replace them with social workers. I mean, that's a bad, bad idea. You know, like that's only going to exacerbate the problem that we just talked about. But one thing I kind of wanted to ask you about was how far into space do you think that we can actually go? And what really made a big impact on me was the difference in computing power of a modern cell phone compared to what they had back then, and the Van Allen radiation belts, all that stuff. Can you talk to us about some of that stuff?
Yeah, the book Moon Man, which is at Sibrel.com, has also 15 video links, kind of interactive. So basically, I write one chapter and I say, stop. Go to Sibrel.com, click on video link one, and now you'll know what I'm about to talk about next. One of those links is NASA, their employee, admitting on camera that this radiation field that most people don't even know exists, that starts at 1,000 miles up and extends somewhere around 25 to 30,000 miles, that the only time in human history someone has claimed to have gone through this dangerous radiation, as he called it, is going to the moon. Then he goes on to say that the technology for an astronaut to survive going through it has yet to be invented. So then how did they go through it to the moon with 5 decades older technology if today they still don't have the technology to survive going through it? And lo and behold, they're faking being halfway to the moon, which means they can't leave Earth orbit. 50 years later, they still can't leave Earth orbit. Now, you can X-ray a toaster 1,000 times, it'll still make toast. So you can send unmanned probes through the radiation belt. At the moment, you cannot send humans because you'd have to have either lead protection or water or something like that. And it would be extremely heavy, difficult to get off the ground. In fact, von Braun said, irregardless of the radiation, that to go to the moon in one rocket, it would have to weigh 800,000 tons. He says the mathematical numbers are irrefutable. Well, they had only a 2,500 ton rocket that they claimed went to the moon, not an 800,000 ton rocket. So that doesn't compute either. I mean, it's very simple. I mean, all you got to do is look at one picture of the astronaut shadow going at 12 o'clock and a rock 5 feet away going at 9 o'clock when sunlight is always parallel to know for certain it's shot in electrical lighting, which means it's on Earth. And then you just use the simple deduction. If today they can only send NASA 1,000th the distance to the moon, right? Today, with their best technology, they can only send an astronaut 1,000th the distance to the moon. How could they have technology that was 1,000 times greater 50 years ago when they had less computing power than a cell phone, 1 millionth the computing power of a cell phone. Now, if it takes Elon Musk in the last couple of years, 6 attempts to land a rocket vertically with 5 supercomputers or 6 of them, one for each rocket on each side, and it still crashed the first 5 times, how could they land a rocket vertically on the moon the first time with 1 minute computing power of a cell phone?
The power of an iPhone is what they had.
Yeah, and all of NASA, all the computers that you see at NASA, all that had 1 millionth the computing power of a modern day cell phone. So to claim that they could land a rocket vertically when on the first attempt and 6 times later with 1 millionth the computing power of a cell phone contradicts the fact that Elon Musk with 1 million times greater computing power could not do it the first 5 times the rocket exploded. You saw him. So that doesn't make any sense. How can they have 1,000 times greater technology 50 years ago than today if technology doesn't go backwards? That's like saying Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic in 1927, and here we are 50 years later, no one can fly across the Atlantic. When just 10 years later, there were thousands of aircraft flying over the Atlantic that were 1,000 times more advanced than his initial plane. And the atomic bomb. You know, when they dropped that in 1945, I think it was 10 years later, atomic bombs were 1,000 times more powerful. So if they could go to the moon on the first attempt with 1 millionth the computing power of a cell phone, 10 years later, we would have been on Mars. 50 years later today, we'd be in another solar system, and there'd be bases all over the moon. I mean, there's bases on the South Pole when there's minus 100 degrees and 100 mile per hour winds. So if you could go to the moon, there would be bases there. The fact that there aren't bases there is actually proof that you can't go. Otherwise, there would be bases there, you see? And yeah. It's the same thing with all this original equipment. They claim they spent $200 billion in today's dollars to build the rocket and the schematics and the blueprints and electronic diagrams, and they destroyed all of that.
Yeah, now, why would you do that?
Of course, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, they should have destroyed the technology of the atomic bomb, but 10 years later, it's 1,000 times more powerful. So why would you spend $200 billion to go to the moon and then immediately afterwards destroy the equipment, the original diagrams, the original schematics, and the original videotapes, and the original telemetry that tells you where the rocket was? Now, if you really went, you would never destroy such valuable equipment, but if you committed a fraud, you would destroy it. So the fact that they destroy it is actually proof of the fraud.
Absolutely.
I mean, it speaks for itself.
They save Lincoln's hat. They save Lincoln's hat, but they don't save this value. I mean, it absolutely falls apart. Well, so but I gotta ask, do you think that we can get unmanned craft to the moon? Do you think we've ever landed anything on the moon? And in further, has anything if we have done that, have we ever come back from the moon, unmanned?
I don't think NASA has ever claimed to have done a return trip probe to the moon. They have claimed that they sent probes to the moon, but I suspect in the United States case, those are fraudulent. The Chinese probe, the pictures are different. Number one, the soil is caramel brown, and NASA pictures, it's silver. And that's to match the background of the fake pictures because the color didn't match. And additionally, and of course, they'll be correcting these as I speak, but in NASA pictures, allegedly on the moon, all the rocks are just kind of sitting there, you know, on the surface. You look at the Chinese pictures, and because of all the sand pelting the moon for however many thousands of years that is, right, it develops a layer of sand around rocks. So their rocks show sticking up points out of the soil. Two reasons why I think their probes are real and ours are fake. In regard to Mars, I mean, it looked to me that the probes they allegedly sent to Mars, 4 years after they faked the first or last Apollo mission, they don't look real to me. And the current ones, when people do side-by-side comparisons of Greenland and where they claim is on the moon, they match exactly. So who knows? I mean, some of the missions could be real and maybe probably are real. Like if they send a probe to Jupiter, the real part of it is that they did send a probe to Jupiter. The unreal part of it or the secret part of it is probably it's not there to study Jupiter. It's really there to study an incoming comet, asteroid, rogue planet, something like that. So that's probably what they've got going on. The first guy who told me we didn't go to the moon, he said it's all about money. And They made $200 billion to make a television program. Hey, that's a lot of profit in that one. And, you know, what was it? Halliburton, Cheney's company, you know, when he was in Iraq selling everything, his ice cube trays, you know, just one, not even a set. One ice cube tray, I think it was $40.
And, but not only that is that it put NASA into everybody's brain and kind of let people, you know, expose NASA to the world. And now everybody just takes their word for everything and they get what, something like $55-56 million a day to operate.
Yeah. I mean, if Mike Adams calls the country run by gangsters, and of course he's right, then what do gangsters do? Gangsters have front companies. When I first moved to Nashville, there were all these hot chicken places everywhere. And virtually every single one of them was secretly taking bets on the three daily numbers because there wasn't a lottery at the time. So the mafia does front businesses, you know, olive oil, restaurants, whatever. And they're really, you know, using that as an excuse for all their gambling, cocaine money or whatever. So if mobsters do that and our country is run by mobsters, then really you could say NASA is a front. That the FDA is a front, that all these things are front. I mean, if we're giving all these taxes for roads and roads are destroying my brand new tires, then the money must be being spent on something else. So I guess that's just the way it is. And I don't know if you guys believe in God or the Bible, but one interesting thing that Jesus said, and I think we're living in the last days, is he said that the tribulation will get so bad that unless God intervenes, and he's saying that he will, no one will survive. So what I take that to mean is that these evil people who run the world, they are going to win. They're doing a fabulous job. They killed Kennedy superbly. They faked the moon landing superbly. They got everybody, you know, to be, you know, start the Vietnam War from something they completely just made up. They did 9/11, and 20 years later, not a single case has gone to court in 20 years. How can that be? In a justice system that a suit about 9/11, 21 years later, and it still has not had a day in court yet. What is that all about? And they announce publicly they're blackmailing Supreme Court justices. And because we control the Justice Department and the FBI, we're not going to investigate ourselves. So I'd like to hear about today's weather. And so they're doing great with the current event for 2 years. I mean, it's really amazing. People are lining up to take a medicine for an illness that they don't have. I mean, and I talked to a person who had three of these medicines and got sick. And then he just parroted back what he hears on TV. Well, but at least I didn't die. It must be working somehow.
It would have been so much worse if he hadn't had those three medicines. He would have gone to the hospital. He probably would have gone to the hospital.
Yeah, of course. So basically, I'd be like saying, okay, I bought a car from this guy. The transmission fell out. I ran into a ditch. I bought another one from him. The transmission fell out. I ran into a ditch. I bought a third one. The transmission fell out. I ran into a ditch, but I didn't get killed. I just got scratches.
So yeah. If I hadn't bought it from him, it would have blown up and killed me.
So, I mean, you know, I was watching the evening news less than a year ago before this medicine was approved by the FDA before. And they're saying pregnant women need to run out and get this medicine.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe that the world is that far gone.
They'll also tell you things like this medicine has no long-lasting effect. If children take this medicine, it has no long-lasting effects on their fertility later on in life.
Yeah, how do they know that with no long-term studies? Yeah. And then when I was a kid and got my chicken pox shot, they said it protected you for a lifetime. I got a measles shot, protected you for a lifetime. I think that's the way it works, right? And for some reason, all of a sudden that changes overnight. That didn't work anymore. It must be the clouds.
It's like they changed the definition of what a vaccine is, you know?
Yeah, well, what can you do? You know, all we can do is what the Bible says, save yourself from this corrupt generation.
Yeah.
And even though we probably should prepare for the troubled times ahead, the greatest thing to prepare for is the next life. And to make sure we qualify for that by simply repenting of our sin.
Absolutely.
And that's all we have to do. You know, to me, the most profound scripture in the Bible is, what good is it to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? And I'm not mad at Bill Gates or these people, George Soros, whoever's doing their little shenanigans. I feel sorry for them, because they will gain the world and that will be it. And that time will come to an end. And then what? And then before they're destroyed and never have any consciousness ever again, they're going to know that other people, the poor, you know, useless eaters, will be living forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and they don't get to because of their greed and selfishness. Absolutely. And so I feel sorry for a person on that side of judgment day. I work every day to repent of my sin, every day to be faithful to the end. Jesus said to believers, because of the increase in wickedness in the world, the love of most believers will grow cold. Only he who holds to the very end will be saved. Yeah. So we've got to hold on, and we can't hold on to Jesus and possessions and selfishness and sex, drugs, and rock and roll and God at the same time. You know, I think that's what it boils down to, just like unconditional surrender with the Japanese. They got blessed. I mean, we rebuilt their economy. We told them not to have a defense department anymore, which doubled their economic growth. And we took care of them after total surrender. And that's what we need to do. That's what grace is. We can't undo the sin we've done in the past. If I killed somebody and repent, I still can't bring them back to life. So grace takes care of that. However, I have to qualify for the grace by renouncing sin. And there you go. That's the most important thing. And to, I guess, wake people up. You know, I'm surprised, even though a funny thing happened on the way to the moon, opens with scripture, where there is pride, then comes disgrace. Everything concealed is meant to be revealed. Let us build a tower that reaches to the nations so that we can make a name for ourselves. Pride, the Tower of Babel, never finished. The Titanic, the ship that God himself, never finished, you know, could not sink himself. And then Nixon saying the greatest event since creation, put a man on the moon when he knew it, they weren't there. I get emails saying, believe it or not, that the film helped people in their relationship with God by showing it. And I have a friend who used to be an atheist, and he said one of the things that made him believe in God is seeing the satanic side, you know, on the other end, which he knew it meant that there was something here, you know, that they are opposed to. Mm-hmm. And so praise be to God. You know, I felt like God protected me during these investigations, that he saved my life on more than one occasion, and put good guys in the government who look out for me, you know, in the shadows or whatever. And it is what it is. You know, there's a scripture that says if someone throws a curse at somebody who doesn't deserve it, it will boomerang and come back on them. And on my website, sabrell.com, you'll see a music video I wrote kind of summarizing my little adventures here. And one of the astronauts' son, as he was plotting my assassination with the CIA, accidentally recorded on tape, he later died a few years later at age 26. He put a curse on me for an unjust reason, and it backfired on him. So I'm sorry for that, but it's still very profound.
That's so true. You know, Adam and I are both homesteaders. We, you know, as far as the earthly matters go, we're trying to take food security into our own hands and all that kind of stuff, because we both feel that we can prepare on a certain level like that. But I know for me, and I think Adam's not, we're right around the same. I'm realizing that these wars upon our minds, it's a spiritual thing, and that we need to prepare. I need to prepare in a spiritual sense as much as I do in a physical sense. And that seems to be a lot of what you're saying right here.
Yep. I just tried to read my Bible first thing in the morning. And I have kind of three things that are in the old emails, you know, never be anxious, right? Never about anything, even if someone's got a gun to your head. Be gentle always, okay? Never curse at the gunman. Love him, love your enemy, right? And the reason is the Lord is near. You know, Jesus appeared in the middle of a room with the doors closed and then disappeared. So I guess you could call that another dimension. If that's the case, then God is right here. I just can't see him. And I think God's more powerful than a guy pointing a gun at me. You know what I mean? So there's really no reason, if we're saved, to ever be angry, to ever be sad, to ever be anxious. just be at peace and stay close to God and get ready, you know, buckle up, and we'll get to see a big show here at the Big Finish, right?
Yeah.
That's beautiful, man.
Yeah. Let's start wrapping it up there, Bart, but before we go, let's talk to Deborah. And I know that, you know, I kind of knew before that she was experiencing some serious doubt after our first episode. And then I think maybe even a little more after consuming Moon Man. Deborah, why don't you talk about your thoughts on the moon landing? And
point blank, but do you believe we went to the moon?
No.
Fantastic.
I mean,
you don't believe in the moon landing, and you don't believe that 9/11 was 19 correct. Arab hijackers. So, correct. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
That's impressive. I have a question for you, Bart, and maybe you discuss this in the book. Why didn't you press charges when Buzz Aldrin punched you?
Well, I was tempted. You know, being the sinful person that I am, I thought, I got him. I'm going to get a house out of this guy. And it's amazing that everything is in the Bible, including don't charge interest. Uh-huh. You see, the only banks in the country that should exist are banks run by the government of the people, by the people, for the people. And if I want to borrow money for a house, they'll lend it to me and I pay them back with zero interest. Another thing that the Bible says is when someone strikes you on one cheek,
turn the other cheek,
offer them the other. And right as I was thinking, okay, I can get a house out of this guy, we got him, it's on camera, then immediately that scripture came to mind, you know. And so I couldn't sue him, because that's what the Bible says. It says, you know, not to do it. And he didn't wake up that day and say, boy, I can't wait to punch Bart. And I didn't wake up that day saying, boy, I can't wait to call him a liar, coward, and a thief. It's just one of those things that escalated. I later apologized for talking to him harshly. He later recompensed somewhere in there. Recompensed, yeah, by buying a copy that day of my apology. If a funny thing happened on the way to the moon, we have his, you know, order there online. And
wait, he went online and ordered your book?
He ordered A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon.
Okay, the movie?
The day I sent him a letter of apology for calling him a liar, a coward, and a thief. And so it touched his heart. And, you know, he's harassed and helpless sheep. Remember Jesus, when he was being murdered, said, Lord, forgive my murderers. They do not know what they're doing. Now, I think he should repent. And I think if he doesn't, he might have a problem on judgment day. All he has to do is confess that he did it. And imagine the breathtaking, beautiful, beautiful moment that would be. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says when the seventh seal was open and judgment could no longer be postponed, the angelic host just became dead silent. And I think if he went on national TV and tearfully confessed he didn't go to the moon, he's sorry, it would be dead silence in the country for a while. And that would be a very good thing. And it would force, you know, a reexamination of the country, because Congress and the Senate, they didn't vote to fake the moon landing. So that means the people who made that decision are not the Congress and Senate, meaning they don't, this whole idea that there are representatives is a lie. That's just, you know, on the surface to fake us into thinking we have a democracy. We have a dictatorship, no independent press coverage, no free speech or you're taken down, and no representatives allowed to vote on important world issues like whether to fake the moon landing or not. The CIA does it anyway, the heck with them. And if you misbehave and complain, you end up like Kennedy does, right? And they're blackmailing Supreme Court justices. That's how gutsy they are. And it's on TV, and they're still doing it because no one dares challenge them because they're afraid they'll die. So we just have to stand up to bullies. People, even atheists, have to realize you're going to die anyway. And do you want to be remembered for all time as a coward who backed down to the bully, or someone who stood up to them because you were in the right and they were in the wrong? And when you do that to a bully, it does affect their heart. They realize that they are in the wrong. And often that's the reason why they back down, even though they might be able to retaliate, because they, at a deep level, they realize you're right and they're wrong. And so all we need is a new you know, behavior to shift and become contagious. And that's just standing up. And it needs to be people in the military and especially people in Congress and in government to just confess their sins, stand up for what is right. And I'll be the first to propose that anyone who confesses a wrongdoing of any degree, including murder, that was done by the federal, state, or local government, that they are to be given full amnesty, because the truth is more important than prosecution against somebody who's going to die and face God anyway. We need to have amnesty for confessions of wrongdoing in our government to help the truth come out. And we need bold, brave people who realize they're going to die anyway. And it's better to, you know, stand on the side of right for all time than for wrong.
That kind of is based on the assumption that everybody believes in right and wrong.
Well, they do, because even if they say they don't believe in God, they do believe in right or wrong. And proof of that is when they lie about something they do. When someone lies, even a non-believer, it's an acknowledgement to themselves that they believe that that is morally wrong. Otherwise, they'd simply tell the truth about it. So they've already indicted themselves with their conscience, acknowledging to themselves that what they're doing is wrong because of the lie. The lie is an admission to yourself and to everyone that what you're doing is wrong. Otherwise, you tell the truth about it, right?
Yeah. I think one really good takeaway from Astronauts Gone Wild is once you get past the humor and the craziness of it, all those guys that you've confronted, they don't seem like they're happy with the way that life's turned out. You know, they don't seem seem like pleasant people.
But they're not happy. I mean, Edgar Mitchell, who somehow had a reputation of being some sort of peace group guru, says, "I don't hit people," and 5 seconds later he hits somebody with their back turned to them. He's foul language, violently angry. And I found in my own walk with God, if I'm backsliding, that I get angry at the drop of a hat, because I'm just living a life that I know I shouldn't be living, and it just destroys my peace. And that's why these guys have no peace in their life.
Mm. Those things torment our souls.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Imagine. Yeah. If you had
the truth, will set you free. I think I heard that
lie for what? Well, how long ago was 1969? 63 years ago. People are holding on to these lies. Yeah. It's got to tear you up. Deborah, do you have any final thoughts or questions or words for Bart on this
just that
birthday of yours?
You did an amazing job. I mean, writing that book was like reading. I kept having to remind myself, this is not fiction. There's my daughter.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Thank you, darling.
I've got my wife. Might as well come in if you're introducing family. I noticed there, Deborah, you got a big house in my favorite city. That means you probably got a guest room, right?
It's not a big house, but there's always room for you, Bert.
We'll sleep on the floor to have free rent for a few days in San Francisco.
Oh, you wouldn't thank me at the end of that. But I started to say I had to keep reminding myself, this is not fiction. Because parts of it read like science fiction, parts of it read like a murder mystery. It just,
well, I, you know, believe it or not, that dawns on me on a regular basis. I remember 20 years ago, as an alleged, you know, young up and coming hotshot filmmaker, I went in the middle of the day because I worked for myself in to see The Truman Show, and maybe it was 30 years ago. Okay, so I get up and I walk out because I say, this is stupid. You know, everything's contrived and whatever. It's stupid. Now I watch the film, I cry every time. I think it's brilliant. The point is that when I start thinking about, did I just see them say on national news, pregnant women need to take a medicine before it's FDA approved? Is the world that wicked? It just keeps dawning on me over and over again. If I wrote a script saying, okay, there's a world where they fake the most important event in history. They promote a medicine that may do the opposite of what it claims, and they kill their own presidents, and they claim to be the best country in the world. I'd say no one's going to believe that. That's just too outrageous. No one's going to accept that. And this is the world. I mean, I really thought for a moment, am I dreaming when I saw that? Is the world that far gone? And it is. And back to the Bible, Jesus said when he was tempted by the devil, you know, I'm not going to do it. And Satan says, come on, if you follow me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world because they belong to Satan. So the kingdoms of the world belong to Satan. The Bible says so. So who do you think he's going to give them to? Like-minded people. And so Jesus can be Lord of your life and he will be Lord of the earth. But the Bible says more than once that the Lord of the earth right now is the fallen angel Lucifer, and he's the father of lies. So how ironic that the greatest event of the hand of man is a complete lie.
Fantastic. I think that's a good place to hang it up. What do you guys think?
That's pretty good.
Yeah. We could talk to you all day, Bart, but we got to respect your time and we need to let this old 69-year-old brain process everything.
And she looks pretty healthy.
Yeah, she's in good shape.
So just remember, listeners, go to Sabrell.com. You can get a copy of the book. And it goes all into this, and you get 15 videos with the book as well that are online.
Highly recommend it.
Will you sign copies for people if they request it?
I do have a button at Sabrell.com for autographed copies. They cost a bit more, but that's how I help pay my bills.
Cool. Maybe I'd like to get one. It was a fantastic book, and yeah. You know, I consumed it by listening to it, but I'd like to have a physical copy. I think that's a good suggestion for people, is to get as many physical books as they can right now, because this 100%. Is the kind of stuff that'll get thrown into a pile and lit on fire. So
yes, yeah. I mean, it needs to be flashlight compatible, right, Chad?
Yes.
I don't Absolutely. Think a Kindle is flashlight compatible or audiobook, right?
Yeah.
If the power goes off, yeah. Hard yep. copy. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Guys. Well, happy birthday, Deborah. This has been
a great
interview. ChudX, thank you for being here, and thank you for being a great co-host. Bart, absolutely. This was fantastic. And like I said, when you replied to my email requesting an interview, I was really, really excited. This is our 115th show episode, and I don't really get that excited about guests committing anymore, but I was excited and nervous like I was in the early days. So thank you so much for bringing that back for me.
Well, you must have an interesting show, because I turned the tables on you, unbeknownst to even me. I wanted to ask Deborah a question. I became the host there for a minute.
Yeah, those are the best great. Ones when we get her opinions on it. So, and we did that in pretty well today, and we got a getting her to commit to an answer like what she just did. That's a big deal. That's a watershed moment for the show. So
yeah, well, bless you guys.
Yeah, bless you too,
the world, Bart. And bless the lost, and bless people's open mind to perceiving the truth to save themselves from this corrupt generation.
Well Perfect. Said let's well end it said. There
all right guys all right. thanks for Alrighty. Everything all right see you soon
thanks
peace bye
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people. Oh, those black babies? Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass to lay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order are idiots. Playing God all day. Deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that seven-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.